As you walk around outside, explore a state or national park, or sit at a seashore, one thing becomes clear. Creation is a wonderful teacher. Observing what He's done comforts us with the assurance that what He's doing in our lives is fully within His control and according to His wise purposes. Stephen returns to Job today and explores some of God's most amazing creatures, dragons and dinosaurs.
Well, God has finally shown up and spoken to Job. And His speech, frankly, has surprised us all. Instead of showing up to provide answers to all those hard questions, God has begun asking Job questions, 77 questions in all. Now, these questions effectively take Job on a tour of the universe, from the constellations down to the very smallest raindrop. Then we began in our last session watching as God takes Job to the zoo. God reveals that He created the animal habitats. He created the animals with their wonderful instincts. And if a bird, from an eagle to an ostrich to a raven, never escaped the notice of God, here's the point, Job, you have not slipped off the divine radar of God either. Now, God might have been asking questions, but His questions are providing deep and wonderful answers, as well as assurance. I think of the Apostle Peter, who tells those who suffer to remember God's power in creation. He writes in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19, "Let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator." That's good. So why don't you, my friend, take some time to walk around the block. Maybe take a hike in the woods. Sit out, you know, on your back porch, which I love to do. Or maybe walk around a nearby lake. And don't just walk around. Look around. Observe. Listen. Marvel at the creative detail and design in God's wonderful creation. One author put it this way, that sometimes it is by enjoying the Creator's handiwork that we often begin to feel the touch, again, of the Creator's hand. Well, God is about to point out to Job two final animals, and they happen to be the largest land and sea animals in all of creation. We're now in Job chapter 40, and we're over here in verse 15 where God says to Job, "Behold, Behemoth, which I made as I made you. He eats grass like an ox." Now, the Hebrew word for behemoth simply means great beast. Now, I got to tell you, I'm surprised and disappointed by all the scholars out there who've suggested that a behemoth was a hippopotamus or an elephant. Those are large animals, but they don't come close to fitting the description we're given here in verse 16. "Behold, his strength is in his loins, and his power in the muscles of his belly. He makes his tail stiff like a cedar." That's a cedar tree. Well, hippos and elephants don't have a tail that comes close to resembling a cedar tree. Well, we pick it up here in verse 17. "The sinews of his thighs are knit together. His bones are tubes of bronze, his limbs like bars of iron. He is the first of the works of God." In other words, he's the first in strength and size. In fact, God says here that even if the Jordan River flooded, it wouldn't bother the behemoth at all, down here in verse 23. No one is big or strong enough to catch him, we're told here in verse 24. God is describing the largest land animal he ever created. It's not the rhinoceros, it's not the hippopotamus, it's not the elephant. It's the dinosaur. The dinosaur has a tail like a cedar tree, but a dinosaur eats grass like an ox. Well, maybe you're saying to yourself, But I've never seen the word dinosaur in the Bible. Well, that would be true. The word dinosaur wasn't coined until 1841 when Sir Richard Owen, the director of the British Museum of Natural History, came up with a word. After viewing the bones of a Megalosaurus, he realized that these were the remains of a very unique group of reptiles that had never been classified before. He called them dinosaurs, which means terrible lizards. Now, we don't know which dinosaur God was pointing out to Job here. It could have been a Brachiosaurus, which could weigh 90,000 pounds and reach 75 feet in length. The average person, of course, today has been taught that dinosaurs existed at least 10 million years before human beings. Well, according to Genesis chapter 1, the land animals were created mature, fully functioning, on the sixth day, the same day Adam and Eve were created. And here, in this text, God is implying that Job is very aware of the dinosaur. God tells him down here in verse 15, look at the behemoth. That's literally, look at him, Job. So evidently, this massive land animal, extinct in our generation, was roaming the earth near enough for Job to see. You know, I found it interesting that stone carvings and cave drawings by people who lived several thousand years ago showed them hunting mammoths and antelope. And those famous drawings, of course, have ended up in textbooks your children have probably read. Well, on those very same cave walls were drawings of huge animals that looked just like dinosaurs. And guess what? Those drawings were conveniently left out. Beloved, we don't interpret Scripture through the lens of the universe. We interpret the universe through the lens of Scripture. But let me tell you, if you have trouble believing God could create a huge dinosaur to roam around at the same time as humans, you're going to have a lot of trouble with this final animal God now speaks of here in chapter 41. You better hang on to your hat. God is about to describe the largest water creature, and I'll tell you ahead of time, it happens to be a fire-breathing dragon. And by the way, this is the most detailed description of any animal in all of Scripture. So, buckle your seatbelt. God asked Job here in verse 1, can you draw out Leviathan with a fish hook? Or press down his tongue with a cord? Can you put a rope in his nose or pierce his jaw with a hook? Verse 7. Can you fill his skin with harpoons or his head with fishing spears? Lay your hands on him. Remember the battle, and you will not do it again. Now then, here in verse 10. No one is so fierce that he dares to stir him up. Who then is he who can stand before me? See, God is saying here, Job, I'm the creator of this terrifying animal called Leviathan, and I alone can control him. Now get ready for this, because God is continuing this description here now in verse 18. His sneezings flash forth light, and his eyes are like the eyelids of the dawn. In other words, they're blood red. Verse 19, out of his mouth go flaming torches. Sparks of fire leap forth. Verse 21, his breath kindles coals, and a flame comes forth from his mouth. I told you to hang on to your hat. This is the description of a fire-breathing dragon. Now, people might say, oh, there's no way for an animal to breathe fire. Well, what are you going to do with a bombardier beetle, which fires at its enemies explosive bombs made of powerful chemicals stored and mixed inside its body? What about the firefly? It has that internal chemical reaction where it converts chemical energy into light energy without burning a hole in its stomach. Well, Here's a creature that once brought terror to the world of Job. It's now extinct. Isaiah called the Leviathan, by the way, in chapter 27 and verse 1, the dragon that is in the sea. Now, why would God end his words of comfort to Job here by pointing out these two massive creatures? Could it be because they were so fierce, so cruel, perhaps, so untamable, like the events that have occurred in Job's life? Beloved, could this be God's way of reminding Job that everything God created, he can control in order to bring about his ultimate plan for our lives, for Job's life? Well, we know that's exactly the lesson God wants Job to understand. And we know that because he responds to God here in chapter 42 now and verse 2. I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. See, here's Job bowing before God, and with a repentant heart, he's expressing awe, he's expressing reverence and a submissive spirit to his all-powerful Creator, God. By the way, that's our solution to this day. In the face of unexplainable suffering, in the presence of difficult situations, let's join Job here in saying what the hymn writer would say and express so well. Maybe you recognize these lyrics. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Well, until our next wisdom journey, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That lesson was called Dragons and Dinosaurs. Stephen has other resources to help you explore in more detail what the Bible says concerning dragons and dinosaurs. He has a full-length sermon on this passage, as well as a booklet. Go to our website and type dinosaurs in the search bar, and these resources will show up. Our website is wisdomonline.org. We have one more lesson to go in the book of Job. That'll be next time here on The Wisdom Journey.